Good morning, and welcome to Jenkins Cumberland Presbyterian Church on this cold December morning. Announcements. Do we have any announcements that... Yes, Miss Sherry.
Next Sunday, we will have our Christmas party. An hour before this, we start at 6 o'clock. We're going to have our Christmas dinner. And the kitchen committee will be cooking our food. But don't have to worry. So if you'd like to show up at 6 o'clock, we will be starting the line.
Okay, very, very good.
Dinner and play.
Very good. Also, I believe the play is going to be on Saturday night also. Is that correct?
Refreshments to follow.
With refreshments to follow then.
And on Saturday and Sunday night, it's supper first, play to follow.
All right. Yes.
If you didn't quite say it, that's fine.
Okay. Beautiful poinsettias. Absolutely beautiful.
And we will publish next week the memory of or honor of that you leave with us today. You leave that today.
Okay. Do we have any other announcements? Yes.
Not yet.
So we need everybody here tonight at 5 o'clock. Is that correct? Everybody.
And they have priority over the gymnasium tonight. We ran them out last week. Now somebody, there were too many other people. We have a special announcement. Dylan Holt is going to be baptized to proclaim his publicly his reception of Jesus as Lord and Savior. We're going to do it at 4 o'clock this afternoon. The method of baptism will be immersion. And we'll go to Christ Family Church at 4 o'clock. Where is Christ Family Church? It is 1 mile this way, south on the right. Christ Family Church. You can see the sign out front. And they have a baptistry for immersion. And that's where we'll go. 4 o'clock this afternoon. And Dylan is right on the back there. And we just rejoice with him. And... He made a profession of faith some time ago, and he's being baptized today.
Wonderful.
Okay.
Okay. Are you ready for your congregational meeting?
I'm ready. Yeah.
I suppose.
Right. Once a year, we elect elders to replace those who have rotated off. Miss Karen, do you have a bulletin in hand? Okay. Let us pray. Lord God, give us wisdom, your wisdom. In Christ's name, amen. The Jenkins Church has a rotation system of elders, 9 elders, and they serve 3 years, they rotate off, and somebody is elected to replace them. To serve as active elders. These that rotate off will be always be elders. They've been ordained as elders, but they will not be active elders. That is, meeting in the session each month for decisions for the church. So we will elect 3 elders, actually 4 next week, one to fill an unexpired term, and three to fill a full term, and the clerk will read the names. Okay, we give you, the members of the church, an opportunity to make additional nominations today, and then we will have the election next Sunday. And the 8 o'clock hour, there were no additional nominations. That's your opportunity as a member of the church to make an additional nomination or nominations to the office of elder. We ask. Actually, it's a requirement in a confession of faith that you must have the permission of a person that you nominate and their agreement to serve if elected. Do we have additional nominations from the floor? Do we have additional nominations from the floor? I'll make that statement one more time. Do we have additional nominations from the floor? Give sufficient time. Do we hear a motion? And all in favor of nominations ceasing, and with the understanding that we elect next week, basically this be an affirmative vote. Let it be known by saying aye.
Aye.
And all opposed, no. There's a spot for every one of these, so we will go through the motions, basically, of electing next week. We will also have a congregational meeting of the corporation, and we'll take care of that at the 11 o'clock, or 10:15 hour, how long it takes us to adjust from 11 to 10:15, 20 plus years. And we haven't done it yet, but we have that congregational that meeting of the corporation at the 10:15 hour next week also. Blessings on you. Do we need to make any announcement? Congregational meeting, we declare it ended. That was our business. Do we need to make any note about the retirees?
Yes, sir.
It's in the bulletin, but might need to emphasize it.
All right. Retirees, meet here at 11 o'clock Wednesday. I'll lead you to my house. It's a kind of a circuitous route. But just meet here, and I'll lead everybody to our house, and the meat and the bread and the drink will be furnished. Just bring something else to eat, and desserts are always welcome, so we'll just have a good old time. Nancy's got it all decorated.
At this time, do we have any prayer requests? Mike.
I have two. I asked you some weeks ago to pray for my first cousin, Linda Hoover, who's fought a long battle with cancer. We buried Linda yesterday, and I pray that God is holding her next to him right now. And I would ask you also to pray for my Aunt Eileen Harvey. I've asked you to pray for her before. She has had several bouts with cancer. She's had several maladies in her life, and she is in the hospital right now with pneumonia. And my Aunt Eileen is about 86 or 7 right along in there. So please pray for my Aunt Eileen. I'll also ask you to pray for her son, Tommy Harvey, who has cancer and has had surgery. He had another surgery this week to remove a cyst on his skull. I don't know the results of that yet. Tom is 54 years old. I would ask you to pray for his sister, Elaine, who was caregiver to their mom. She has been suffering from a kidney infection. So just lift that family up in your prayers, if you would. Thank you.
Yes. Do we have others?
Mel.
My daughter Kate had a tumor removed a couple of years ago, but she's now developed some cysts, so she's in a lot of pain and scared. So she's in Asheville, North Carolina, but I believe her church membership is still here. So please pray for Kate.
Okay. Yes, sir.
The latest report that I've heard is a possibility on Facebook that overdoing the vitals, the heart, the lungs, brain, and everything is going to be okay. Your boyfriend, the driver, was killed.
Mm-hmm.
That happened on Old Road. Last Saturday, the young lady was at the bed and breakfast serving lunch. And that same evening, after having a meal, the boyfriend's house while her parents laid around, and he went to take her home. Had this traffic accident on Old Road, killing him, and really sent her a bad. So, we need to keep her in prayer because we're going to be able to. And apparently, the worst part is the lower part, including the leg. He's looking like he's going to be able to save those legs. So,
Most certainly.
Her grandmother, Dia, that's in church here, saw his gown.
Do we have someone else?
Megan Wall is really a friend of that 18-year-old sister. She's kind of battling for her life right now.
Okay. If you'll look on your the back of the bulletin today and read that, preferably not when Brother Larry's preaching, but while I'm talking. Today is a very significant day, and as I read the paper each day, I see more and more gentlemen and ladies dying that have fought, bled, and died for us. How many of you read the comics? I read the comics every day. And Nancy, I don't know how many of you read Nancy. Nancy's really taken a turn. I don't know who's writing for Nancy now, but did anybody read Nancy yesterday? I was so moved. I read it out loud to Mike. He and I read the paper to one another. But we must remember and never forget our freedom here on this earth, especially here in the United States. And it wouldn't have happened if it hadn't been for all those who've gone before us.
May I just say something along those lines? And I'm not one to always flood things, but if you would ever like to do something to remember the World War II veterans, if you don't know, there has never been a museum for them. But it is being built now next to a museum in New Orleans, Louisiana. I did give a donation to it, and I received a newsletter, and it's going to be a wonderful place. So if you would like to donate to that, it's www.warmuseum, www.museum.com. But you can do that, and it saves a lot of good for a lot of people, particularly those that have served us so gallantly.
That's right. Right. Today is December 7th, 1941. And with that, let us pause for a moment of silence and prepare our hearts for worship.
gather here today to listen to what God has to say.
Give us ears to hear you, O God.
We gather here today expecting God to move and work among us.
Give us
expectant hearts that anticipate the movement of your Spirit, O God. We gather here today seeking to see with the eyes of faith and hope for what your love has done, is doing, and will do in the world.
Give us
ears to hear, hearts to sense, eyes to see your glory as it is revealed to us this day and always. Amen.
Hymn 125. Joy to the world.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let every sinner sing. Let every heart prepare him room. And heaven and nature sing. And heaven and nature sing. Joy to the earth, the Savior reigns. Let men their songs employ, while fields and floods, while hills and plains, repeat the sounding joy, repeat the sounding joy, repeat the sounding joy. No more sins or sorrows grow, no thorns pass the crown. He comes to make his blessings flow. For as the curse is bound, for as the curse is bound,
bow your heads. There's a lot of sadness in the world, but Jesus came to bring joy to the world. Real joy, lasting joy. This world is temporary. Heaven is eternal. And Jesus has come into the world to prepare us for heaven. Does that not bring joy? Let us pray. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we pray for sadness and sin and frustration and unhappiness not to rule our thinking, not to rule our lives, but Lord, we pray that we can fix our vision and our thoughts on you. Lord, you have called us to be your people. You have called us to rejoice in your presence. And we come today experiencing that special presence as you have promised to be with us when we meet in your name. And Lord, these people have come to meet. But Lord, we know that you're not limited to this sanctuary, but that you're meeting with your people throughout the world. And Lord, we know that when we leave this place, even going our separate ways, that through your Spirit there are no limitations, and you can go with us, and you will go with us to guide us, to uphold us, to strengthen us, to empower us, Lord, to give us joy and happiness and peace and lead us in righteousness.
So we have come together today. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for the privilege of coming and worshiping. And Lord, we pray that you will so direct our thoughts that it might be, this worship might be in truth and in spirit as you have called upon us to do. And Lord, we just offer ourselves and saying thank you for being our God and letting us be your people. And we offer our prayer in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. You may be seated.
Please join me in our Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. And from thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
To the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Ghost. As we walked in the beginning, you now and ever shall be, world without end.
Our call to confession today is taken from Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, and in this way death came to all men, because all sinned. Please join me in our prayer of confession from Isaiah chapter 40. God of tenderness and love, breathe your grace into our lives. Forgive our wandering ways and guide us along your paths of peace. When we lose our way and forget the reason and purpose of this season, carry us back to you. Lead us up to that high mountain, faith and hope, that we might truly proclaim, here is our God. In your holy name we pray. Amen. And he gives us that assurance of forgiveness from Psalm chapter 85, verse 9. Surely his salvation is near those who fear him. Sam?
Turn your hymnals down, if you will, please, to hymn 151. Good Christian men, rejoice.
And women too.
And women.
Good Christian men, rejoice with heart and soul and voice, giving heed to what we say. Jesus, who Jesus Christ is born today. Oxen as before him bow, and he is in the manger now. Christ is born today, Christ is born today. Good Christian men, rejoice.
Sentence today is from Proverbs 11, chapter 25. A generous person will be enriched, and one who gives water will get water. I ask the ushers to come forth to receive our tithes and offerings at this time.
Glorified because of what is good. Let's be tied to love. For it's in Jesus Christ.
Please be seated.
I believe we have special music right now.
Well, our Young Life voice is coming up to help us with this song. I'll tell a couple of words about this song, the prehistory of this song. This song was lost in all Ted's handwritings, among all the thousands of songs he wrote. Maybe 10 years ago, he said, 10 years ago he wrote this song. And he found it recently, and it turned to be a great blessing to us, the musicians who are playing and singing. And we, by God's mercy, helped. We even managed to make a recording of the song. So we will play the recorded version at the end of the service as a postlude. But I hope you will be blessed by this song as we are blessed already.
Words of Dora, excellente.
I believe it's time for children's time. Miss Andrea? Meet Miss Andrea down front.
Okay, now, we're going to do the Advent wreath. And last week we started, and the first candle that we lit last week was the candle for hope. And so I'm going to go ahead and relight the candle that stood for hope. And our hope is in our Lord and Savior, who came here as a baby, grew up, died for us on the cross, and rose again, and is now in heaven, watching over us each and every day, and we carry him right here in our heart. And that's the hope that we carry with us, that we want to share with everybody that we know. Just a little bit of review before I go into the candle for today. The green color, the evergreen color, that is, you know, everlasting life. The round circle of the wreath represents the never-ending love of our Lord and Savior for us. And we've already relit the hope candle. So today I wanted to talk to you about the candle of faith. Now, faith is something, once you have your Lord and Savior in your heart, that you have. And, you know, has anybody here ever had a day where you got ready to go to bed that night and maybe what you planned on happening didn't happen at all and you were kind of disappointed? You ever had that happen? You go to bed and you kind of, this day didn't go like I meant for it to at all. Well, you know what? Faith is what has you say, well, Lord, I'm going to dust myself off because I know that you have a plan for me. And what my dreams and aspirations are may not be what you really want me to do. And so you have the faith in your heart and the hope that your Lord and Savior has a plan for you. I have a funny little thing to tell you, and I'm going to read you some scripture. I'm going to go ahead and light the faith candle. In my barn, I have a family of little baby mice. And those little baby mice, certainly this is not the faith that we have as Christians, but they have faith that every day we're going to feed our horses. And they're going to get food because they're waiting and watching between the walls of the stalls. And there's one that's a lot smaller than the others. There's six little baby mice. And there's one that's real little. I see him because you know why I see him each and every day? Because he's the first one out. And he has faith that those oats are going to drop. He's also not as skittish as the others. And I don't know why that is. Maybe he's so little he's hungry and he wants to get out there and get it. But you know what? He's coming each and every day and he's watching for those oats. Well, that's just a little silly example of faith. But our faith is that we know as followers of Christ and believers in Christ that there's a bigger plan for us than we could ever come up with in our own minds or our own dreams. And everybody has dreams, right? Oh, we sit around and we daydream sometimes, you know, about what we'd like to be and what we'd like to do. And the Lord knows exactly what you're going to do. And he knows exactly what his plan is for you. So, when you have those times when you go to bed at night and you're a wee bit disappointed about the day, or what's been going on, you remember this. In Hebrews 11, verse 1, and first of all, do you know what the definition of faith is? Trust in God. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, our candle of hope, and the evidence of things not seen. But we know it, right? Because we carry that faith with us. And then verse 6, but without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and when we're speaking of he, we're speaking of God, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So remember that as you're going through the Christmas season. All the, you know, fanfare and everything that we do and parties, it's all fun and great. But the reason for the season, there's only one reason. It's to celebrate our Lord and Savior. Let's go and sing with you.
Thank you, Miss Andrea. Boys and girls, there isn't any children's church today, so you may go back and sit with your families. Our scripture selection today is taken from Mark chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. It's about John the Baptist. In the beginning of the gospel about Jesus Christ, the Son of God, it is written in Isaiah, the prophet, I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. A voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. And so John came, baptizing in the desert region and preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all of the people of Jerusalem went out to him, confessing their sins. They were baptized by him in the Jordan River. John wore clothing made of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. And this was his message. After me will come one more powerful than I. The thongs of those whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Brother Larry.
Who is cooking locusts for lunch? Anybody going to have locusts for lunch? Are locusts edible? Where would you find them? Where would you find some locusts? How about honey? Do you put honey over your carrots to make them a little bit better? We're willing to eat honey, but who's ever eaten a locust?
Anybody ever eaten a locust? I haven't. I'm just raise your hand if you have, though. Tell us how it tasted. Ever eaten a snail? It's called something different in France, I think. If you have eaten some snails, what other exotic foods could we tell about this morning? On the way to the manger, stopped by Jordan. What kind of sermon title is that? Well, there's an outline in your bulletin, and hopefully I can keep up with the outline on the screen. I've been a little about 2 steps behind everybody else this morning. I won't stop to tell you why, but that's just been the way it is. You've seen it. And some days life is just that way. Stopping by on the way to the manger, stop by the Jordan, or stop at the Jordan. Advent. We started it last Sunday. First Sunday in Advent. It so happens that the last Sunday was November the 30th. And Advent begins every year, according to some church fathers or grandfathers way back there. They set up a church calendar, and some of us in the ministry have tried to follow it with the different seasons of the year. And they set that, when would Advent begin? The Sunday nearest November the 30th. That was last Sunday. Another event that I mentioned at the 8 o'clock service has already been mentioned. This happens to be that year that December the 7th falls on a Sunday too. So as a congregation, we can continue to kind of pause and pay respect to those killed at Pearl Harbor in 1940-41. Advent, what is it? Advent is another word for the coming, or the advent into the world of the Savior. I believe it's a Latin word, somebody said a long time ago, but I didn't study Latin and did not. Miss Andrea say that she took Latin, but it was a dead language and she never had used it. So I didn't take it if I wasn't going to use it. Maybe others. I believe Sam's son teaches Latin, though, because if you know Latin, allegedly, it will help you understand English better or other languages that came from the Latin. But Advent in the Christian church of today is a journey back to the manger. We're in the seventh Sunday. I found a quote by Fred Craddock. Fred Craddock is a renowned preacher of even today. He's getting on in years, and his voice kind of cracks, but he is a joy to listen to. And he was a seminary professor, and I have some of his writings, and one of them said, Advent pilgrims. Advent pilgrims. On the way to the manger, must go through the desert where John is preaching. Advent pilgrims on the way to the manger. And that's where we're going, is it not? We're going to the manger, to the birth of Jesus. We're kind of hopefully building up to it each Sunday at the Advent wreath, and hopefully through the music and the preaching from the pulpit, through the children's program next Sunday night, etc., etc., Saturday night and Sunday night. We look back to the birth of Jesus in order to be able to better go forward for the second coming of Jesus, or when Jesus comes to claim His people and take us to heaven. I think it helps us, it equips us as we look back to the manger. It equips us to go forward. And as we are going back to the manger, or forward to the manger, stop along the way at the Jordan for the preaching of John the Baptist. Last Sunday was a joy. I got to sit back in the back. Every fifth Sunday, somebody else preaches. I usually still try to attend the church to give encouragement, to observe, to be blessed, to worship instead of lead in worship. And Gary did a marvelous job. I said it when he was absent at 8 o'clock, so I'll say it again in his presence. Gary has some special abilities as a speaker and a preparer of a sermon and a presentation of a sermon, presenting a sermon. And I appreciate him. He took us last Sunday back to the foot of the cross. And thank you for that, Gary. A good place to start the Advent season. He invited us, I believe, to meet Jesus there at the foot of the cross, where the ground is level, as somebody has said. And especially anyone who had not met Jesus and trusted Him as their Savior and made them Lord of their life, He invited to go and meet others at the foot of the cross. For others who are trusting, have been, and still remain, we really don't need to get far, very far away from the foot of the cross. It was at the foot of the cross that we look up and see Jesus giving His life for our sin, to pay for our sin, where He made it possible for our souls to be clean, our lives to be clean, our sin to be forgiven, so that we could stand pure and spotless before God. We can't do it on our own strength. Gary went into some detail of that last week. But Jesus, we put our faith in what He did upon the cross. He died. He died on the cross. He paid for our sin. The wages of sin is death. And He paid the wages for our sin. And our faith in Him, when we put our faith, our trust, when we trust in what He did there, we're forgiven. Our sin is not held against us. It's removed from us as far as the east is from the west. And we can stand before God pure and spotless. Today, I want us to experience the preaching of John the Baptist as he labored. And it was a labor. He was preparing the way for Jesus to enter into His public ministry. And He would spend 3 years in that and then go to the cross. So these are all connected, entwined, if you will. He labored preparing the way for Jesus to begin His public ministry. And we find John the Baptist, of the baptizer, in the area or the region of the Jordan River. And he was preaching to the people a baptism of repentance. Repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins. John was quite a preacher. People came out to hear him. What brought people out to hear John the Baptist? I wish I knew. Was it the way he was dressed? Was it the food that he ate? Maybe he was serving locusts and honey. Was it the locusts they came out to eat, or was it the honey they came out to eat? It doesn't talk about the other people eating, though. We don't have any mention of that in the scriptures here. Was the way he was dressed, was he a strange character? Or did he have some special ability in preaching that attracted people? And did the Holy Spirit send these people out? Let these people say, go out and hear this man, John, preach. You need to hear it. And a friend would say to another friend, have you been out to hear John preach? Let's go. God, I'll go with you. He was one of those outstanding preachers You know, there are a few of them through the centuries. Not many. There's a lot more who were not outstanding. I was hoping I would be one of those outstanding preachers. But about the third sermon, I knew that people weren't going to be knocking out walls or tearing down the doors to get to hear my preaching. Now, why? I don't know. Just don't know. How does it happen? But for John, they would get up and go out to the Jordan River and listen to him preach, and listen to him lambast them. Look at his preaching. Read about it. He wasn't selling anything. He was tough. We have to turn to the book of Luke to get the details, some of the details of his preaching. But they kept going. They kept going. And they kept going. And he kept preaching. And they were made ready for the beginning of Jesus' public ministry. He was preaching the baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sin. He was saying to the people, folks, you're living in a manner that's displeasing to God. And you need to repent. Now, what is repent? I've been somewhat lax in preaching repentance. Maybe that's why people didn't beat down the doors to get in to hear my preaching. Maybe I should have preached more repentance. Or maybe I still should be. I don't know. But let's try to define what repentance is. What is John talking about? And Scofield Bible, if you have one, the notes down, and I think I had to go to Acts chapter 17 to find the footnote for this. And it says, to have another mind. Or to change one's mind. We don't get another mind. Don't take this mind out and give us a new one, do we? But it talks about in the scriptures taking the stony heart out and giving us a heart that would respond to God's love. To have another mind or to change the mind. And the word is used in the New Testament to indicate a change of our mind in respect to sin. And a lot of people don't take sin seriously. In John's day, or in our day. And it could be sin of omission as well as a sin of commission. Some sin that we commit, or something that we omit doing that we ought to do that would be right. And when we fail to do that which is right and good, that's a sin of omission when we are called to do it. A change of mind in respect to sin. Seeing sin is sin, and sin is sending us away from God and ultimately sending us into eternal punishment. And think that sin is serious. A change of mind in respect to God. What was your first thinking about God? What was your first thinking about God? That he was a mean taskmaster that was looking out to get you. I can remember, don't know where it came from, but seeing the clouds up in the sky, and I would think, well, there's God. I could see a cloud that looked like a man with a white beard, and he was stern. And if I did something wrong, he was going to get me right there. That may be part of a description of God, the justice of God. That's what we deserve. But now I can also see God through Jesus Christ, and he's a God of love. He loves me. He loves me enough to send Jesus to die for me. So I had a repenting experience from my understanding of God, from thinking of him as a mean grandfather figure. I never met a grandfather, so don't know if they'd have been mean or not mean. Somebody loved me enough to give his only boy to die for me. Only begotten boy. And then Repentance, a change of mind in regard to self. That we cannot save ourselves. Some of us are still working at saving ourselves. We're trying to be good enough. And Gary spoke of this last week in his sermon. And we have to have a realization, or come to the realization, that we cannot save ourselves, but we're saved only through our faith in Jesus Christ, who has provided salvation for us through His death on the cross. Russell Bowie wrote for Interpretive Bible, and they wrote back in the late 50s, early 60s, somewhere in the mid-60s, the books were published. And he says, repentance in John's preaching was a thoroughgoing change, as is all true repentance. And he says, the word repentance in John's preaching is a strong word. It's not a simple word. It's not a simple word. It's not a weak word. It's a strong word. A new mind. We said that. It's a right about face. Now, we could do a wrong. We could do a about face and be the wrong about face. We don't want to do a wrong about face. We want to do a right or a correct about face. Or a godly about face. It calls for a right about face. A turn in a new direction, the right direction. Repentance is always more than penitence. Bowie says, he says it is not simply remorse. It is not just admitting our mistakes. It is not saying in self-condemnation, oh, I've been such a fool. We've all recited that one more and more. That's so common. That's so easy to say. Repentance is more. It's more even than just being sorry for one's sins. You know, we say, oh, I'm so sorry. But repentance is more than just being sorry for our sin. Bowie calls repentance a moral and a spiritual revolution. A moral and a spiritual revolution. And he continues, to repent genuinely, or genuine repentance, is one of the hardest things in the world for us to do. But it's basic to our spiritual change. It's basic to our progress on the road to the manger or to Calvary. It calls for a complete breakdown of pride. We're proud. And Bowie says, repentance, true repentance, real repentance, genuine repentance calls for a breakdown of pride, a breakdown of self-assurance, a breakdown of prestige that comes with our success, as we see success, and a breakdown of our self-will. Or doing it our way, if you will. It's so much more than getting saved on Sunday or getting saved at the revival meeting and next week going out and living like nothing has ever happened to us. All kinds of people came to John repenting. The multitudes came. Says the multitudes came, or the crowds came, one version in Luke chapter 3, verse 17. See, Mark is a short version. He just says that John came preaching repentance for the remission of sin. Luke goes into detail, or some detail, to tell us what we're talking about, repentance. Because people came and asked, what are you talking about, John? What do we have to do to show that we have repented? Multitudes came. John told them. The publicans came, or the tax collectors. And people hated the tax collectors in that community because likely they were taking more tax for the Roman government and pocketing a portion of it when they were not supposed to. They were known to be crooked. And then the soldiers came. How many former soldiers do we have in here? People who went to the war or went to the army. And I grew up near a military base. It was an air base. And you know, the airmen are supposed to not be quite as rough as the Marines. Is that right? Do we have any former Marines here? So they'll set up and say, we were the toughest, right? But the airmen, they were not angels either, friend. And it was not known. It was unusual to get an airman into your church. And usually it was because they came with some pretty girl in the church. And soldiers or airmen or military people, you know, it's not that they're flocking to the church to get saved or going down to hear sermons about repentance. But even the soldiers, possibly, likely the Roman soldiers, went out and heard John's preaching and their hearts were touched. And they came to John to say, how do we get ready for the coming of the kingdom? So the multitude, the publicans, tax collectors, and the soldiers. That's Luke 3:14. And they came, I believe it's Mark 1:5, said they came confessing their sins. They admitted that they had done wrong. Repentance leads to or includes some action. As you turn to Luke chapter 3 and read about the preaching of John the Baptist, and they said, what could we do? And everything he said had to do with how they were treating their fellow man. The soldiers, he said to the multitudes, he called them vipers. He said, they said, what must we do? And he said, he that hath two coats, let him share it with one who has none. Help out your poor neighbor, he said. And then he has no food. Friends, we're going to give away 9 boxes, or possibly more, of food this Christmas. Do we need to do it just Christmas? Every day, Christmas. And we do. I even got scammed last week. Have you heard about that? Well, I've been griping about it, but that's okay. That's okay. God will bless our efforts anyway. And then the publicans came to be baptized. What we must do? And he said, extort no more than that which is appointed you. And then the soldiers came, said, what to do? And what must we do? Extort no more, no man by violence. Neither accuse anyone wrongfully, and be content with your wages. In every one of these, it was relationship to other people. You can turn to Matthew 25 and read there the great judgment scene. The judgment would be judged based on how we had treated our fellow man. That's Jesus' words. Matthew chapter 3, verse 9. Some of these people that came to John the Baptist to hear his preaching were depending on their heritage or their family tree to get them right with God. And he said, just because you're a descendant of Abraham, don't depend on that. You need to do some serious turning your life around. Quit doing bad. Start doing good. Helping your neighbor and your fellow man. And then Matthew 21:28 and Luke 15:1. About two parables about sons. One son said, I will do what you tell me to, Daddy. I'm just not going to do it. And then he changed his mind and went and did what Daddy said. And Jesus praised him for that. Another one was a prodigal son. The prodigal son, Luke chapter 15, he went out and lived a hellacious life. Is that word too harsh? Maybe not. And then he came to his senses. Maybe the hunger did it. But he came to his senses, even if hunger did do it. And he repented in his thinking. And he went home and he admitted that his father was right. And he submitted himself to the lordship of his father, the father representing God, a forgiving, loving God. The call for repentance was followed by a message of hope. Read it. read it again. That hope was fulfilled, is fulfilled in Jesus Christ. That we meet at the manger, but we live with through His ministry, and finally to the cross, where we trust Him for what He has done for us. Repentance. Are you ready for Jesus to come? Are you ready to visit the manger? Are you willing to come to Him? Well, the call is to come in repentance. Come in faith. And that's what God invites us to do today. And then He invites us to proclaim. And we proclaim Jesus at the table. With Paul and Sam and David and Julie and John Rippey and Karen, join me at the table. Hear these words from Jesus' mouth as recorded by Matthew. As they were eating, that's Jesus and the disciples, Jesus took a small loaf of bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to His disciples and said, "Take it and eat it, for this is My body." And He took the cup of wine and gave thanks for it and gave it to them and said, "Each one drink from it, for this is My blood, sealing the new covenant. It is poured out to forgive the sins of multitudes." To forgive our sins, because we are part of that multitude. Because we have come in faith, trusting Him in His death to pay for our sins. The bread. Let us offer thanks for the bread. Lord God, we thank You for this bread. And it mentions a small piece. We don't know just how big that one was. But we come with a small piece of bread today. Small in our thinking. But Lord, it's big in that it represents You and Your body broken for us. Lord, bless this bread for us. Let it nourish our spirits as we remember that You gave Your body to be broken, that we might know the forgiveness of sin. And we pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. The body of Christ broken for you. The cup. The blood of Jesus. That is actually the fruit of the vine representing the blood of Jesus. That's what Jesus served to those disciples. He said that represented His blood poured out for the multitude or for many for the remission of sin. Lord God, bless this cup, the contents thereof. Thank You and praise You. Thank You for this way to remember Your shed blood shed for our sins. And thank You for Jesus who gave His blood for us. Amen and amen. The blood of Jesus shed for you. If you're a visitor here, let me inform you that we practice open communion. And that means if you're trusting Jesus as your Lord and Savior, it matters not to us. And we do not believe it matters to Him what church that you belong to. But if you're trusting Him, Jesus, as your Lord and Savior, eat and drink from His table, because this was done for you. And this is a way you can observe, celebrate what He has done for you. Please serve the people. Thank you.